And at this time, kids, you're dismissed to Kids Zone.
Thank you for leading us in worship this morning. So I am not the preacher this morning. I'm just the introducer of the preacher this morning. Terry Hibbert is going to be preaching this morning, and I just wanted to say a word before he comes up. Those of you who have been part of our congregation on a regular basis know that Terry is one of the, as you know, preaches fairly often, I guess, in our congregation. But he's going to be leading a Bible study this summer on spiritual gifts. And if you could just throw up a slide. A little while ago, we did a series on God's grand design for his church. And in there, in one of the messages, talked about, as a vision team, we've been meeting and talking about what is God call us as a church to be. And that baseball diamond-like shape in the middle is... knowing Christ is where the journey to faith begins. And then when we come to faith in Christ, we want to grow in Christ. But then we also want to be able to serve Christ out of the grace that he has given to us. And then we also want to be able to share what God has done in our lives with others. Well, the class that Terry is doing is really in that area of ministry, in helping us to serve Christ. Because when the Spirit of God comes into our lives, he stirs in us gifts and abilities so that we can carry on the work that Jesus calls us to. And so I just want to invite Terry up at this time to share from God's word with us. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, and good morning to each and every one of you. Let me just open with a little brief word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, your word is a lifeline to our souls, and we take to heart the teaching you give us. May we do that simply and honestly. And in the message this morning, Lord, may we give thought to what you might have to say to us. May we even come to a greater understanding of the role of your Holy Spirit in our personal lives, our service to you, and for the growth and well-being of your body, the church. And Lord, we are all called to exercise the gifts given to us by your Spirit. And may we do that and do it exceedingly well in the days ahead. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you see, the general overview of the issues I'll share with you today. Well, last time I was up here, I had a football with me. Today, I have something different, and something for each one of you. But don't get excited, you can't eat it or anything like that. So I'd like to begin this morning and having some of the young people from our youth group to come forward, and they are going to distribute to each one of you a puzzle piece. You guys can come forward, okay, and just start at the beginning of your row. There you go. Okay, and just please, just take one piece of puzzle, and the container's passed to you, I'll explain the purpose of that in a moment. And while those are getting distributed, let me just simply ask, how many of you here enjoy doing jigsaw puzzles? Okay, that's good. Well, at least half of you. You know, puzzles are good for your brain as well. So when you reach retirement, you'll have a little more time to do more of them. Well, the thing about puzzles is that you need every piece to complete the picture when you're done. And if there is even one piece missing, you can be filled with disappointment. All that time, all that energy, putting the puzzle together, and you know, one piece missing. Oh, that is not good. However, you know, once you've done the puzzle with all the pieces, there's a sense of accomplishment, you know, and even joy. And maybe you've even glued the puzzle together, you know, on a piece of backing, put a little frame around that. I've done that with a couple that I've particularly enjoyed doing. So, what does all of that have to do with our lives as Christians and service within the church. And in doing a little bit of research for this morning's message, I came across a sermon by a Baptist minister down in the States who actually used the analogy of a puzzle to explain spiritual gifts. And that struck me as a good way to explain them. And so I've adapted that analogy for my own message. But let's begin with the scriptures. One of the scriptures on gifts by the Apostle Paul, and we'll put it on the screen for you, 1 Corinthians 12 and the first 11 verses. And Paul says this, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." So I want to look at some basics of spiritual gifts. And imagine that the pieces of the puzzle that you each have are like spiritual gifts. And one of the first things we learn about that from this scripture is that these gifts are received. They're not achieved. No one here did anything to receive that piece of puzzle except to accept it. None of you asked for it. None of you determined which piece you received. And in verse 11 of our scripture, it's quite explicit. It is the Holy Spirit who apportions the gifts as He chooses, not as you or I choose. And the Spirit alone determines which ones you will get, which ones I will get. And the Spirit is the one who also empowers us with the ability to use those gifts within the context of the Lord's church. So that's one of the first things we learn. A second key to understanding the spiritual gifts is that only Christians can receive the gifts of the Spirit, because only Christians have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Now, notice there's another scripture from the Apostle Paul, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verses 10 to 14. And Paul affirms this by saying, "These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has given to us freely, and He's given us these gifts." Verse 13, "This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but by words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit now does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." So Paul is clear here. Non-believers simply cannot receive spiritual gifts because the Spirit is not residing in them. They haven't made a commitment to Christ. They don't understand these things. And as Paul says, sometimes they think it's just foolishness. Now, they still have their natural abilities because God created every human being. They still have those, and they don't lose their natural abilities because of a lack of faith, but they cannot receive the gifts of the Spirit. And that leads to another understanding of the gifts. Namely, they are not natural talents. I mean, we all have talents and abilities, including unbelievers. You know, a talent is something that any one of us can develop in our lives if we put our heart and mind to it. Talents are features that give every human being their uniqueness. You know, so many people, for example, have a talent of playing a musical instrument. Well, you don't have to be a Christian to play a piano or to be an excellent sports player or, you know, to be a computer whiz. There are many things that you can achieve with or without a belief in God. But God will certainly use our natural talents because He is our Creator and use them for His purpose within the church to further our ministry and witness. So, for example, if you can play a musical instrument, you can help lead in worship. If you enjoy gardening, maybe you can come out and keep the church grounds in good and decent order. And sometimes God will indeed use our natural abilities in effect as a spiritual gift. For example, someone's a salesperson, okay, and maybe you're selling insurance, selling automobiles, whatever, and you're good at your job, you know, and maybe you even win the Employee of the Month award because you're good, you have a good way with people, and people relate to you well. So, using that natural ability or talent, God may well give you the gift of evangelism, and you'll be effective at leading people to Christ. Or if you're a school teacher, now that doesn't necessarily mean you'll be good at teaching, you know, a Sunday school class or an adult's class, but it well could. There are times when there's a mix, if you will. God will use our abilities and use them as a spiritual gift, and that's the point. And it's worth noting, actually, that many of us here are actually using our spiritual gifts, but you don't realize it because we don't have a full understanding of what they are. And understanding more about the gifts can be a real encouragement to us because we know then that we are serving the Lord in the way He has called us to do. So, and then in verse 4 to 6 of our scripture, now, Paul says that gifts are given for a variety of ministries and services. So, there is not just one set of gifts for every single person in the congregation. As the scripture says, it is the same Spirit, the same Lord who distributes these gifts as He chooses, and He will mix them up. You'll have some gifts, the person next to you could well have a different set of gifts, and so on. And what times you might have a gift mix, so you might have two or three gifts. And you will find that one gift may be dominant at a certain time or a certain period, depending on what God wants to achieve through us at a particular time. But regardless of the number of gifts that we have, they will all work together, you know, like a jigsaw puzzle, for the ministry to which God is calling us as a congregation. I'll give you an example, and you will know this. The Apostle Paul, I mean, he was a missionary. He had three major missionary journeys across Asia Minor, and they're described in the book of Acts, chapters 13 to 21. So, we know that Paul certainly had the gift of evangelism. But if you look at his ministry, you will see he also had the gift of leadership exercised on his missionary trips. We also know Paul preached many times, sought to take care of people's needs as he was traveling along. So you can say, well, he may well have had the gift of teaching, the gift of helps or service, certainly the gift of pastor. And he was using each gift as the situation warranted. And that may often be the case for each one of us. So it's good to keep that in mind. But then a general question here. Why do we need gifts to do ministry? Why not just use the talents God has already created us with? Well, Paul lays this out actually quite clearly at the beginning of chapter 4 in his letter to the Ephesians. Let's take a look at a few of those verses. And Paul says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." And that's interesting. He begins with our human attitude before he gets into the gifts. That's a precursor to using our gifts in the proper way. And he's calling us to keep the unity of the Spirit. And you'll see momentarily that is a key theme that these gifts are helpful for, and keeping a unity within the congregation. Verse 4, "There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace, the gifts, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." So again, he's affirming the oneness that we are to have if we are to minister effectively. There needs to be unity. And it's the gifts that bring us together and help the ministry of the church really to move forward. Verse 11, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." There's another reason why the gifts are given. It is through the exercise of our gifts that we are equipped to do the work of ministry in terms of building up our local church, which is the body of Christ. And he says, until verse 13, "until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead of speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head." That is Christ. "From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. It grows, it builds itself up in love as each part does its work." So Paul's primary theme here is the growth and the unity of the local body, supported by every single member. The ligaments, that's his analogy here, and he gets into the body analogy later in Scripture. But every single person, and we are gifted, and God wants us to use that. And as we do that, notice he says, this is the way you and I become mature Christians. Well, think of it this way. The puzzle pieces that you have are not designed to operate independently. They only have meaning when they are linked to all the other pieces. You know, and notice each puzzle is unique. No one has the same piece of puzzle here. They're all completely different. And that one piece will only fit in one place in the whole puzzle. That's when you have the complete picture. And that's how the gifts of the Spirit work. And the church's ministry can be accomplished as we work together in this way. The Apostle Paul, going back to 1 Corinthians 12, puts it this way. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be" what? Ignorant. You know, it's important. And again, Romans 12:5, he says, so it is with Christ's body, that is the church. We are many parts of one body, and what? We all belong together. That unity theme. Paul won't let go of it. You know, we're not all different pieces of Christ's body spread out here and there. No, a body is one unit. And we are various building a church that can effectively witness to the presence of Christ, the salvation that he offers. And we can do that in our community and around the world. Well, I just want to take, although I've read a couple of these, just want to take a brief look at what the actual gifts are. And we'll just list them here this morning. But there are four scriptures specifically that refer to spiritual gifts. Three of them by the Apostle Paul, and I've mentioned those, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. And there is one more by the Apostle Peter in his 1 Peter 1, chapter 4. Chapter 4. And again, it's easy to remember these chapters, okay? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. So you got two 12s, two 4s. That makes it easy. And again, I just want to look at the list that is in the scriptures. In the summer course, we'll go into more detail. We'll take a look at them and see how, you know, we can use them and so on. Romans 12, you have prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. In 1 Corinthians 12, actually, there are two lists Paul has, one near the beginning and one towards the end of the chapter. So I've just combined those for the slide here. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostles, teachers, helps, and administration. In Ephesians 4, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then 1 Peter 4, Peter adds hospitality, prophecy, and service. Now, you notice there are many similarities as well as differences in these lists. So we know that the lists are not exhaustive. And sometimes different translations that you have will use a different word for the same gift. One example, encouragement is used in some translations. Others use the word exhortation. The meaning remains the same. And things like that we'll discuss more in the summer. But also amongst commentators and theologians, some feel that there are maybe a handful of other gifts not specifically mentioned as such. For example, some feel that craftsmanship should be a spiritual gift because in the construction of Solomon's temple, now you're going way back to 1 Kings, and if you haven't read that in a long time, read 1 Kings 5 to 7. It's the whole construction of that wonderful temple to the glory of God. And the craftsmen who were building that temple were truly gifted people in their trade. You read through that, there are so many intricate things that they had to do to build that temple to the way God had demanded it be done. So many intricate things. And so some would say, hey, those guys were really gifted. But the point is here, however, do not get stuck on or arguing over what a complete list of gifts may or may not look like. If you do that, that could easily cause disunity in the congregation, which is the last thing Paul wanted. So, as you look at the gifts, well, there are different things, and we're open and we don't get into arguments over that. Now, as you look at that list, though, you might think, well, shouldn't we all be doing whatever is in that list there? And in a true sense, that is right. And I'll use the term, there is a corresponding role to most of the gifts, if not all. You notice faith was listed as a gift. All of you, every Christian needs faith, okay? But not all of us have the gift of faith. And we'll go into those differences, as I say, in the course. We all need faith. Evangelism, too, is a gift. But we're all called to witness in some shape or form. And we'll get into more detail on that in the summer. One other note I want to make before we wrap this up. Learning about discerning and using our spiritual gifts is not just another church program. Okay, folks, we need to be aware of that. The use of these gifts, and the Apostle Paul is anxious to make this point, is that the work of the overall ministry in each local church is governed by God. The ministry is governed by God. Yes, through the natural abilities and talents we have, and also through these spiritual gifts. And the gifts are a part of the vision that God has given a local congregation. Now, as you know, we have a vision team here and working on discerning and clarifying that vision for us and everything that goes into it so that we can grow, so that we can minister effectively, so we can have an outreach into the community and even the world around us. And for that process, you might know this if you were at the vision meeting a week or so ago. Now, the material that the group is using is from Saddleback Church, where Rick Warren is the senior pastor there. And he actually includes spiritual gifts in their process to help towards the health and the growth of their own church. So I just want to briefly summarize the main points that we've looked at this morning. Using the puzzle analogy, we learned that the puzzle pieces by themselves have no real value until they are used in conjunction with all the other pieces. And in a sense, that's the way it is with spiritual gifts. Their value is in the unity and the growth of the congregation. Every part, namely each one of us, doing what God Himself has designed us to do. And that is an important value to keep in mind. We all have a part. Secondly, it is God the Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts as He chooses. It's not our choice. Our task is to discern which gifts the Spirit has given us. And we can do that, yes, by a questionnaire, and I'll have that, I think, in the third session that we're doing. But more importantly, it's getting involved in serving in some area of the church, no matter what it is, and seeing what ministry you and I enjoy doing the most, because that will help you discern where God is leading you and making you aware of the gifts that you may have. God wants you to enjoy doing ministry for Him. So if you're in an area of service that you enjoy, there's a good chance you're using the gifts already. And then thirdly, the overall reason. Why have the gifts been given? And Paul states this three times in his discussion of gifts, so you know it's important, that these gifts are given for the common good, he says, to equip us for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, for serving one another in love, and keeping the unity of the Spirit, and therefore the unity of the church, strong. So, if you can remember those three points, three purposes of the gifts of the Spirit, I think we'll be well on our way in having a fruitful and fulfilling ministry, and one more particularly that God wants us to do and get moving on. And then we'll be able to fulfill, you know, the Apostle Paul's call, Romans 12, verse 2. You might remember this, where he says, present your bodies, what? As a living sacrifice, yeah. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable to use the gifts God has placed within each one of us to honor Him and to help His church to grow. So, just before I call the praise team to come up, the puzzle that you each have a piece of. I did put that jigsaw puzzle together. I took a photo of it and then, of course, pulled it apart so we could distribute it here. So that puzzle also contains a picture of a building. See if you recognize it. I'll ask you folks at the back if you put that last slide up, the picture of the puzzle. And there it is. So that's how we all fit together. We all have a place. Doesn't matter where or what, God has gifted you. I remember I once said it in Dave's Thursday Bible study sometime. I said, I don't care what gifts I get. I could be a big thumb, to use Paul's analogy of the body. Doesn't matter. I'm happy to do what God has blessed me to do. Each one of us. We can be happy, we can be joyful as we come together. Not as we've put that place together, but as God, through His Holy Spirit, has. So, praise team, I invite you to come up. And when you leave the church, the doors, we have a couple of the young people, and I thank them for participating. You can drop your pieces of puzzle in there. Or, here's a thought, if you want to keep that piece, take it home, use some fun tack, stick it on the fridge with all your other pictures and magnets and so on. And just as a little reminder, you know, as to, hey, you know, I've got a gift here that God has given. You know, imagine if a friend or a neighbor comes in and they're admiring all your pictures on the fridge and they see that little piece of puzzle and they say, what on earth is that there for? And now you've got an opening to share something about Christ. Anyway, let me just close off in a word of prayer before we sing. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that you have called us to serve in your kingdom and to serve through our local church here. And Lord, no matter who we are and what our station in life is, as your children, you have gifted each one of us in ways that we can serve you and help share the good news of salvation. And Father, no matter what age we are, no matter the abilities we have, each one of us are precious in your sight. And so may we be encouraged to use both our abilities, the gifts of the Spirit that you have given to us, and rejoice to see the results of our service and new lives committed to you. Continue to bless our ministries, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.